Welcome to Societal Shapers, a podcast by Piel Cadilla, the place to get inspired, find your purpose and courage, and get tools to become the next female leader, creating real results and meaningful changes.
Okay, so since the recording is going, so I think we can start the session by introducing you first, Gus. So for everyone who's actually watching, Augusta and I go way back from uni days. So we studied together, we did the same course, and you know, we've always dreamt of wanting to do something together. And she lives all the way in the UK and I live here in Malaysia. And for some, you know, weird reason or just fate, the time that we are on lockdown, you know, the opportunity just came about. So I think, you know, this is a really, really amazing time and space which we've managed to come together. So Augusta, please introduce yourself.
Thank you, darling Piel. So, as Piel said, look, we've known each other for such a long time. I'm not even going to say, it'll just make us sound a bit old. But yes, I'm of Nigerian origin, but I'm UK-based. And in the UK, I'm a property entrepreneur. And I specifically have to say property because all of my businesses, and I have three businesses that I run alongside, my business partners are my mother and my husband. But they're all property businesses. So my main role is a mortgage advisor. And I mean, I don't know what the situation is with regards to mortgages in Malaysia, but in the UK, there's a massive mortgage. Most people buy things through loans. So I give advice around that kind of stuff, especially on a specialist, more complicated end. I also have a property development business. And when we develop the houses, when we're not selling them, we keep them and run them as short lets. A short let being, you know, Airbnb, Booking.com. And so that's what we do over there. And we're looking at more businesses, but those are the three that are operating right now. Yeah,
that's good. So, yeah, it's amazing, Gus, what you have achieved today. You are absolutely a serial entrepreneur. I think back then, when you visited Malaysia, you were in an entirely different industry. And back then, we were both, you know, trying our hands at entrepreneurship. We just started in the creative space. I was in the skincare business. We'll speak more about it if there's an opportunity that comes up tonight. But I think that was just like introducing Augusta's background and basically how we met. So yeah, we have more people joining now. We have Jamie and we have Kumathi. Welcome to the session. Thanks so much for being on time. And yeah, so we're just about to get into the meat of the stuff, right? So giving a bit of context, why we decided to do this podcast is because Augusta, you should tell the story of what happened to you and how you're stuck and how we actually got together, right? So why don't you tell a bit of that story?
Okay, cool. So I got married in February. Woo! Which is great, and literally I feel like we just kind of got it in before Corona kind of ravaged through the whole world. But you know, we had an amazing wedding in February, and then we had the opportunity to come to South Africa in March, and I was on the fence a long time about it. I was like, oh, should we go, and then finally decided that I needed to go. I needed to be away. I needed to go get some clarity, and I figured it was going to be the last time I was going to go away for the rest of the year, because you know, we are on a massive, we've got some really steep targets for the businesses this year, and we want to start another business by the summer. So I thought, look, let's just get this done. So we my husband, he reluctantly came with me. So we got to South Africa. And they did cancel our original flight, but they managed to put us on an even better flight, you know? So I was like, okay, great. So we came here to South Africa, started in Johannesburg, then worked our way to Cape Town, did a bit of safari, actually had an amazing 2 weeks, especially the weekend. The final weekend was a lovely, very romantic weekend in a nice part of Cape Town called Franschhoek, which I recommend visiting if you're ever in Cape Town. And then last week or the week before, it was actually a couple of weeks ago now, we went to the airport to try and come back to the UK. And we were in the airport 6 hours a day for 3 days straight. And finally, just when we thought we were about to board, they arrived and said, look, South Africa's gone into lockdown. And the airspace over South Africa is closed and you have to stay here for 21 days. So good luck. Go figure it out. And, you know, Nick and I were like, oh, my gosh, like, what do we do now? So made some calls, found a place to stay, and we've been there. I've been here since. And so, look, the airspace is supposed to open on the 17th, but we don't know if that's going to happen. Our best bet of going back to the UK is repatriation flights being organised by the UK government. That's our best bet. So, you know, we're here trying to make the most of it. And then, so, you know, I posted a video about this just because, you know, my family members, lots of them don't travel. The ones that do travel, for some reason, believe it or not, Afrocentric, but because they live in the UK and the United States, were super stressed out about the fact we're in South Africa. But, you know, I feel like I've been preparing for this trip my whole life. I've spent months away from the UK in various countries all around the world. So I posted a video basically saying, guys, don't worry about me. Worry about yourselves. Like, I'll be fine. I'm in a safe place. I'm doing a lot of growing where I am. And you know, PL and I entered into conversation about this, hence, you know, our session today, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, from Augusta's video, which spoke about perspectives, and that's how the idea of this segment with Augusta on perspectives was basically born. So it, like, spur of the moment, opportunity came up. This is the silver lining. We're all stuck at home. How can we best add value to ourselves? And also, how can you best take the opportunity to see what basically comes? And I think, you know, what I wanted to highlight as well, as Augusta was telling a story, is that she's such a go-getter, right? She's such a, I'm going to get things done. And that's just, you know, a really, really strong example of the masculine energy, right? That I think for a lot of us, before the lockdown, you know, we all had been harnessing this masculine energy, which is go, 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 do, 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 get things done and then move on. And we haven't really had time to stop and think or just be, you know, and let go of control, which is what the feminine energy is all about. So we're going to talk about that in a little while. But before we get into that, one of the reasons how feminine versus masculine all came into play was because I was at the time when I had that call with Augusta, we just had that whole drama with the Malaysian Women Ministry, who had posted all these posters about how women should behave when they're at home, you know, having the Doraemon voice, wearing makeup, etc., and all that. So I think, you know, it was just a discussion about this is what's happening here in Asia. And I think, you know, Augusta had her own perspective in terms of, you know, what she felt that, okay, there's some parts about it which is, you know, on so many levels wrong, but she said there's some parts which I actually understand why, or maybe that was the angle of where the Women Ministry was coming from. So maybe, Gus, you want to share a bit more about that perspective that you have?
Absolutely. I mean, look, when PR told me about the comments that were made by, what was it, the Ministry of Women?
Women, Family and Community.
Women, Family and Community, which is such an interesting ministry, because I don't think we have anything like that in the UK. It's such an interesting ministry. But, you know, and she came along and said those things. And I obviously seen a lot of the memes that are going around about this. And I can't understand the language, but I understand the sentiment. And, you know, it's quite hilarious, you know, the whole idea that, you know, as women, you know, we should, like, oh, hello, our husband, please, blah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, in this day and age, it's, like, ridiculous. It's, like, super dangerous. You've got daughters to be given that kind of message. And so, you know, I get the shock. I completely get the shock. But I think that, you know, the sentiment, there is, I'm going to say controversially, I think some element of truth in this. And I guess the reason why I say this is this. Now, I recognize that, you know, when a female is asked to be submissive, especially when there is nothing on the male, there's been no instruction given from the male perspective, well, guys, this is what you should do. I think that's really the problem here. And so it was a very one-sided bit of advice, you know. And maybe because it's this Ministry of Women, I think that's the problem. Maybe the ministry is titled incorrectly and it should be, you know, it's sort of focusing on women, it should be, but focus on family and family, you know, family abundance and family peace. But the problem is, A, she didn't mention men in her instructions, and I think that's a major problem. But having said that, I mean, this is the one thing I was discussing with Piana. She's right, completely. I'm a go-getter. You know, when I met my husband, he was alpha, like alpha as hell. He was, you know, a man's man. He didn't put up with rubbish. I had male friends at the time. He made it clear. He's like, look, men are friends with women. There's no such thing as platonic relationships. If they're your friend, they're waiting for their chance to jump on you, okay? So it's not like I stopped talking to guys. It's not controlling, but these friends, we had to equate what they were. And if you were a male and you were my friend, you had to be my husband's friend. And that's the only way that these relationships have been able to cultivate. So in very early in our relationship, we have this constant clash where, you know, he's super alpha, I'm alpha, I'm this staunch feminist, I believe in women's rights, I believe in opportunities for women, I have an all-women workforce in my advisory business. You know, I get really peeved off when guys think they can turn up in property and you know, be very sexist. But at the same time, I found that the only way that our relationship has been able to thrive and grow and develop, and even for me to be the boss I am today, and I've become that boss in the 3.5 years that I've been with Nicholas, I have had to, there's been an element of submission on my part. On my part. He is physically stronger than me.
Yeah,
he is, there are so many things that, you know, from my home we control. You know, I probably got more control over the finances. I probably got more control over the holidays that we make and so many things. But I recognize him as head of our household. And I think that that's the only way that this piece, me competing for that space, all it does is a constant kind of a calamity in a home that no one needs and no one helps. And it's not like he stops me from being an entrepreneur. It's not like he stops me from bringing forward ideas. He respects my views. In fact, when we're back in our home in Margate, he's probably the person that does the most cooking. When I'm really focused on work, he's okay with cleaning. Our service accommodation business, he's the one that will go. And, you know, when we can't get cleaners in, they'll clean the toilet. So I feel like he plays his part. Although he's a man, he plays his part on the team. Therefore, if he's playing his part on the team, why do I need to turn around and be like, I'm the boss? I'm not the boss. He's the head. I'm a powerful neck. You know, I'll control the direction, but he's the head of our household. And I feel like, you know, in this day and age with, you know, there's so many convoluted ideas about what feminism should be. And I don't think feminism is about making a man look weak or small or in the corner. I don't believe that's what feminism should be about. Feminism is about women having the choice to be who they want to be. If you want to be a boss, be a boss. If you want to be a mum, be a mum. If you want to be a wife, be a wife. If you don't want to be a wife, don't be a wife. I think it's about giving females choice, giving them education to make informed choices. But I just don't think it's about, you know, about making men weak, low, or submissive. But then similarly, I don't think that women should be, you know, made to feel small at all in their homes and in their relationships, you know?
Yeah, I agree. And I think, you know, from this experience that you've drawn upon, Augusta, because I am also now in my second marriage. So for many of you who might, you know, not know me, I'm today married to a Dutch guy, and he has 3 kids in his previous marriage, and I have, you know, 2 of my own kids. And I think, you know, what really taught me in my first marriage, or maybe, you know, the fact that we were not able to be together was because there was a lot of clash of personality, but also at that time I was young and did not understand about the feminine energy and the masculine energy. And I think that's why it's so important for us to bring this now, so that people can actually understand it as a strategy and harness the positives of the feminine and the masculine energy. So just to bring back how, you know, at that time in my marriage, you know, there, we were always at loggerheads in terms of our personal opinions, in terms of, you know, what path or family direction I would imagine our family taking. And his was, you know, very different. But instead of being able to communicate that, instead of being able to understand, you know, how do I play this music or to the dance, or to be able to find that balance in terms of when is the right time for me to communicate, I was constantly like, had a lot of masculine energy in me and was very confrontational back then. And I think that's one of the reasons which I find that is very useful today, not just in my relationship with my ex-husband, but also with my mother, for example. So she's a very strong alpha female. And so when you have a strong personality, whoever that may be, either your parents, your siblings, your boss, your colleagues, etc., or even your friends, you know, there'll be a point where you find, okay, you know, this is we have a tensed relationship. People are a bit more confrontational than the others. So how do you play this without it affecting yourself and making yourself feel small and feeling insecure? How do you take back control and understand how am I able to draw upon this strategy, and then be able to, okay, I'm going to stop right now, and I'm going to take control of the situation, and I'm going to draw upon the feminine energy, which, you know, before this, I, from the marketing material, I did share some of the natural feminine energy, the positives of it, which I'm going to pull some of it out now. So for example, like understanding, tenderness, kindness, intuitiveness. So, you know, if you understand what are the natural feminine energy, you're able to immediately take control consciously, proactively, and say, okay, I'm not going to fight this battle because it is not a battle to be fought. And then, you know, be at the moment, be present and understand where is this coming from, right? Is it a power play? Is this person actually feeling insecure? And if this person is feeling insecure, why are they feeling that way? So how do you, you know, tone down, bring out your feminine energy and tone down your masculine energy? I think this is so important because this is what I am today practicing in my second marriage. And I have to say, you know, the ability to have this control and to be able to understand these two energies is amazing, because I have, you know, I don't know how long my marriage is going to last. And so you wouldn't know how long your marriage is going to last, right? So we hope that it will last forever for any relationships that we're in. But the point is that, you know, what matters is at the time or in the time that we are together with our partners, we want to make it the best relationship. Right, this is the, you know, 100% the best times of our lives, and is the best relationship. Even if it doesn't work out, you know, when we look back, you know, those were the best moments that made us the person whom we are today, you know, after that. So I think that's really a really important point, and I hope, you know, you guys can have a lot more takeaway from that. And I think, you know, Gus, do you want to share a bit more in terms of, like, because you and your husband now are business partners. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so you don't just like work together, and you see each other every day, because you don't have like separate offices, right? So some people, you know, husband goes away, wife goes away, and then we're kind of like doing our own thing, and then we come back in the evening, and we're like, okay, you know, things are fine. But then for people like you, and the reason why I want to bring this up, because now in the lockdown, as we have seen in China, for example, the divorce rates have gone up, because all of a sudden everyone's just like stuck in each other's spaces. And, you know, this part of the other person just comes up, the child or the inner child in this person, you know, the tantrums and everything. You're like looking at this 50-year-old guy, and he looks like he's five. He's acting like he's a five-year-old. And you're like, where did that come from, right? In the last, like, I don't know, 5 years of my marriage, 15 years of my marriage, like, where did this come from? So I think, you know, so how have you managed to balance that? And I know now for the lockdown, you have no problems at all.
Well, it's very interesting, because, as I say, look, when we're having this discussion, you have to be so sensitive about other people's situations and predicaments. And I can only ever talk about this from my perspective, you know, because when Nick and I decided that we were going to make this work and we were going to build this together, we decided to be entrepreneurs. He was never Mr. Employment. I've been fired from, you know, three investment banks. We're not employable. We both recognized that we weren't employable, and therefore it was very easy to be like, we're going to drive this business forward. And Nick, by his own admission, would admit that he's not the best starter, but he is Mr. Process. Once he knows what he's doing and once he's clear about what he's doing, he can get going and he can push things forward. Whereas I am the starter, you know, I am the person that will research. I will build the relationships. I will tell everybody, this is what I'm going to do. And they'll be like, yeah, right, mate, that's impossible. And then I'll get it done. You know what I mean? So I'm only ever going to speak this from my perspective. And you know, maybe some people will resonate with me and my personality and how I am, and will take elements of what I'm saying to kind of, you know, kind of guide in their relationships. But Pierre's absolutely right. Like, you essentially have to pick your battles, you know. Being the woman I am today, Nick's family was able to embrace me because he definitely improved aspects of my life. But with him coming together with me, he was able to organize his thoughts and his ideas and his abilities in a way that he wasn't able to do before he met me. So we both were adding value to each other's lives, you know. And so when, you know, we came together, I was already a feminist. My family recognized me as this feminist go-getter. My husband recognized me as that. My husband's family recognized me as that. It's not like people were like, you know, is this girl Shara Timmer? They knew who I was. And I think if you carry that energy, you carry that energy. It's something that you can't really hide. You can't hide being a go-getter. You can't hide being a super organized person. It comes out in every aspect of your life. You know, it comes out in how you live and who you are and how you relate to people. But let's I think
let's bring it to something which is a lot more relatable to people, right? So let's take, for example, you're in an argument, you're in a space where you're just like arguing over something. So how do you know at that point, like, I'm gonna back off? Like how do you mentally or consciously know that point?
I think it depends. And I think there's kind of two types of arguments. When I say two types of arguments, I think there's two types of environments where you're arguing, okay? There's the daily stupid arguments that don't really matter, you know, it doesn't really matter or whatever. And then there's arguments when you're in a high tense environment. And I think that quarantine definitely falls into this second thing, where normally on a day-to-day basis, he might do something or he might use this spoon and put it in a sink and you're like, my gosh, it takes 2 seconds. Why didn't you wash that spoon out? And, you know, you could be like, oh, why didn't you wash the spoon out? And then wash the spoon and you're done. But then that kind of argument in quarantine is not really about that spoon in the sink. It is about, I can't believe I'm stuck here with you. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh gosh, I'm a saint. Like, we have had arguments. We, you know, the first day of quarantine, it was like, oh my gosh, it was absolutely crazy. But I think the difference, you know, in terms of this whole pulling back thing right now, is like, we have had arguments and we know where the arguments go. And the argument goes to, you know, we stop speaking to each other for a number of days. You know, there's this pride that kind of sits in the middle that nobody's comfortable with. You know, the communication isn't there. There's this hostility and nobody likes it. He doesn't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. We know it's going to go that far. So I think when it comes to arguing, yes, 100%, there is a responsibility on the female side, but I do think there is absolutely responsibility on your partner's side, you know? And I think for those of us that aren't married yet or aren't in long-term relationships, you have a responsibility, if nothing else, to be able to pick a guy who respects your relationship enough to know when, actually, I'm going to pick my battles. There is an element there because, you know, I'm a firecracker. He's a firecracker. I'm sure, you know, a lot of people are. But in terms of holding, you know, holding things back, I think, if I'm honest with you, I think in a lot of times, you know, it's about how we communicate. And I think that if something bothers you, I don't think you should always hold it in, because women have this tendency sometimes that they're bothered about one thing and then they make it sound like it's something else. So, you know, take for example, or I told him I didn't want anything for my birthday, so he buys me nothing for my birthday. And instead of me saying, oh, but I did want something for my birthday, you're like, you left your shoes over there. And then it becomes about what it isn't, you know? And Nick will definitely admit himself that when I annoy him, he'd rather have it out with me. He'd rather just have it out, 5 minutes. That was really annoying. You did that. Don't do that. Same thing. Yesterday, we prayed. I felt the spirit of God to pray. I said, Nick, let's say a prayer. We said a prayer. I said, oh, don't you want to say any words? And he was like, oh, I pray every day. You needed to pray. And I was like, what? And we literally just came out of prayer. And I was like, what? And he was like, look, let's call. I said, yeah, look, well, at the end of the day, I'm not going to get into an argument, but I didn't like how you said that. It's done. There's no need to argue. I didn't like how you said that. Okay, we move on. And I think sometimes you just need to get it off your chest. It doesn't need to blow into a big argument. You just need to be like, look, I don't like that. And then back off. You know what I mean? And then it's in there, it clears the air. And then, you know, you shouldn't wait too long. Maybe 5 or 10 minutes later, then you can be like, oh, look what's on TV. Oh, yeah. Babe, would you mind passing me that? You just need to be able to just say it and move on. And that's how we have been able to have a kind of a healthy relationship when it comes to like arguments, you know?
Yeah. So I wanted to bring this back to the audience also, right? So you're listening to, you know, Augusta and I banter about the feminine and masculine energy. So an exercise for you, which you can fill up in the chat box, you know, as we continue the session, is, you know, what do you feel? Can you identify which is your more dominant energy? Is it your feminine or your masculine energy? And what do you struggle the most with in terms of being able to harness your feminine energy or your masculine energy when you are in faced with confrontation, for example? So it could be a friend, it could be a family member, it could be a colleague at work. So, you know, when you are faced with these kinds of moments, what do you draw upon? The feminine energy or the masculine energy? right? So do share it in the chat box, because I just want to understand if you guys, you know, are following us. And also because, you know, some guys, so for example, like Nick, he is quite mature to an extent. With my husband, Chris, he's also very mature to a certain extent. So men who already have that level of maturity, then you can sit down and talk to them. But what about, you know, men who don't have that level of maturity? So I'm referring to men because I'm a girl, so I'm a woman, so I would obviously refer to the opposite sex. But the point is that when a person has not reached that level of maturity, how do we communicate this to them, right? Why don't we find a way to communicate the concept of feminine and masculine energy and say, you know, how you are behaving right now is the negative effect of the masculine energy. So, for, you know, going back to the image which I shared yesterday on finding the balance. So the negative side of a masculine is when, you know, the person becomes a perpetrator. They have abuse of power. They become confrontational. They start to criticize. They become abusive. And so these are the traits which we see that typically happens within in men. But it also happens with women. So we must not forget that women can also have a lot of strong masculine energy within them, and they can also become abusive. You know, so obviously the stories are not as jarring as men male abusive, but female abuse is there, and so this is actually a harnessing of their masculine energy. And so I think, you know, if you can share in the comment, then we can get this a bit more engaged with you guys, because there's another strategy which I wanted to talk about in terms of the six human needs before we get there. But yeah, so Gus, do you have anything else that you wanted to share? Because otherwise then I can move into the six human needs categorized by Tony, and then we can talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it really just to round up, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head. And I think to have a healthy long-term relationship, there needs to be an element of maturity. There needs to be a decision for both of you to want to work through things. Because if that desire isn't there, we're, you know, always going to be in a situation where there is that about. And, you know, not everyone has the same personality. Some people are, you know, quite submissive and don't really want to argue. But that's not too healthy either. You know, there needs to be a bit of a balance there. I mean, before we move on to the needs, I think the one thing I just wanted to point out is that, you know, with feminine energy really being about being still and about, you know, kind of accepting and kind of being at peace, and you know, it's not this aggressive moving energy. I think that one of the most challenging things about what's happened over this last few weeks with this coronavirus is that a lot of us have had to inhibit that. A lot of us haven't had the ability to go do the go. We've all had to kind of be still. And I think that, you know, that's kind of one of the biggest challenges in society, because a lot of the time when you're forced to be still, there's a lot of anxiety that comes with it. You know, oh my gosh, should I be doing, what should be happening? Am I going to lose my job? And I think that's one of the most challenging things about our society today. When it comes to, you know, feminine energy or being still or just being, is that then you're left with your thoughts, and people just don't like their thoughts a lot of the time. The thoughts scare them a lot. But I think we'll touch on that more when you move on to this next segment. You know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, coming out of the crisis as well, because, you know, we've been living in the last, you know, decades, if not century, in a very masculine world. You know, the world has been filled with masculine energies, from wars, from the geopolitics that we see today, from decision makings from businesses who are all about profits, just let's just get, and, you know, and then run on debt and run. So all this is actually very masculine energy. And this is where, you know, Mother Nature, even the fact that we use the word Mother Nature, that takes care of our planet as Mother Nature, that's the feminine energy that we have all you know, kind of gotten complacent, forgotten about it. And this is where I think, you know, it is a way from the universe saying, stop, we need to balance the unbalanced energy that's happening in the world today. So I think that's just really, really interesting.
Thank you so much for listening in. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up, subscribe, leave a comment, and share with your friends. Be sure to tune in to the next episode. And to find out how to be part of Societal Shapers, head to www.plcadilla.com and check out our coaching programs. Catch you soon!